here on followoncricket.com. Chinmay Vaidya, Anish Tal, Ashay Chavan. It's been a while. The last time we were talking, the IPL had just been suspended. Anish gave a nice breakdown on exactly what was going on, why that was happening, and why it was eventually the right move to suspend the tournament. The IPL looks to be restarting at some point in September or October, and we will, of course, be discussing that when the time comes around. Some other news in the cricket world: the ICC announced their Hall of Fame inductees for this year. Some notable names: Kumar Sangakkara becomes the second Sri Lankan to be inducted in the ICC Hall of Fame. Andy Flower becomes the first Zimbabwe cricketer to get in the Hall of Fame. Desmond Haynes, legendary West Indies batsman, also inducted. And of course, some of the other inductees that maybe aren't as well known, also congratulations to them as well for being inducted into the ICC Hall of Fame. Today we're talking about the World Test Championship Final. It is finally here after a grueling 2 years, which felt a lot longer due to the pandemic. The test circuit had to be shortened by a lot of games, and there were some, you know, point standings that had to be amended. The way points were calculated had to be amended. But ultimately, it is New Zealand and India in the World Test Championship Final. And guys, I think at the end of the day, no matter how the results panned out, with the pandemic canceling a lot of games and the point structure changing, these were ultimately the two best test teams, and this is the right matchup for the final.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, both teams are coming in on a high. There's so much quality in both of these squads, and it's going to be a great match.
I think it's going to be historic. Both teams, you know, they just announced that prize money today. It's like $1.2 million and like $600,000 or something. So if they draw, they get $800,000. But I think that basically there's been a big lead up to it. We can bring up some certain points already to start. Like, for example, New Zealand's already played in England for the last couple months. So maybe you can make a case that the Indian players complaining about New Zealand being match ready already could factor into it. India finally, you know, especially having been hit hard with COVID. They're not necessarily not match ready. They haven't played competitive matches in a few months. So that also has a lot to play into it.
That's a good point that I wanted to get started on. New Zealand just played a couple test matches in England, and they were chopping and churning the squad a little bit. They have some young guys coming in, and they were playing without some of their regular players who we expect to play in the final. But does that change the psyche at all for New Zealand and India? I mean, you mentioned India talking about how the playing conditions might not be fair, given that New Zealand is given, you know, a little bit of lead up with some match readiness. Does that change the predictions for you guys? Does that change the outlook for you guys? Or you think it's still pretty even contest?
No, I think it 100% changes the outcome, or the predictions rather, in terms of, you know, like the squad makeup. I think it changes it a lot, because That little advantage, you take what you can get at that level. And basically, you've got to think that New Zealand has, you know, that test cricket mental game. They're mentally ready for it. They're ready for the conditions. I think to answer your question, yes.
Yeah, I'd agree with Ashay. You know, of all the countries that India travels to, the toughest place to play a test is in England. And even though they're not playing the actual English team while they're there, they're facing arguably an even more formidable bowling attack. And so, you know, India always gets off to slow starts in series in England. And even like recently over the past summer, you know, they've got off to slow starts, but then turned things around in their series. And so, you know, that's what gives them a disadvantage here in a one-off match versus it being a three-match series. So, Definitely makes a difference, at least for some of the players, getting the jitters out, getting used to the conditions. You know, New Zealand did have some players play in both the matches that aren't going to be starting in the final. So not everyone got two matches of practice, but, you know, really any practice is better than none.
You mentioned, Anish, the one-off match instead of a three-match series. India coach Ravi Shastri hinted that he might have preferred that it be a three-match series going forward, and surely the ICC will have to change a lot of things. We've talked about the rules of the test championship and how the points have been broken down and things like that. Do you think it should be a three-match series, or you like the one-off format?
It should be a three-match series, but I doubt it ever will be because just the international schedule already is so packed, and now they have to kind of plan around the bilateral series notwithstanding all of these tournaments that pop up, all of these domestic like T20 tournaments and leagues, as well as, well, I guess now you can, not the travel schedule for during COVID was especially difficult, the bubble, but I think it should be a three-match series because how are you going to decide who the World Test Championship final is without, or the champion is without, you know, like in the lead up to it, all of them were at least like three-match series, but now it's just a one-off. But yeah, it's really difficult to plan around that international schedule.
Yeah, I'd love for it to be a three-match series as well, but I agree with what Ashay is saying. Realistically, will be difficult.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with both of you on the scheduling aspect. I do think it should be a three-match series. I think there's no doubt about that. But if they can plan around the IPL, they can plan around three tests for the World Test Championship final. That's not a concern in my eyes. Let's go to the actual cricket now. I think we can agree that India has the best individual player in Virat Kohli, even though his form leading up to this game might not be peak Virat Kohli. I think if we were to say who is the best player playing on that field, it is Virat Kohli. Virat Kohli might be the best player. Is India the better team or is New Zealand the better team on paper?
New Zealand's the better team.
Man, I'd call it even.
I'm going to agree with Ashay. I think it's closer than just unequivocally saying New Zealand is the better team. But I think if you do go 1 through 11, New Zealand does have the better roster on paper, the better lineup on paper. Now, the playing conditions will be similar, more similar to New Zealand conditions than Indian conditions. So that's obviously a benefit to New Zealand. Anish hinted at the pace attack with Kyle Jameson, Neil Wagner, Tim Southee, and Trent Bolt. Colin de Grandhomme may also get a look in there as an all-rounder. Mitchell Santner has been good as a spinner. So New Zealand definitely has the bowling attack and the conditions to be very successful with that bowling attack. Do you think that's going to be the biggest challenge for India to navigate, or will it be something else that they have to worry about?
I think it will be that. You know, their bowling attack can attack you in so many different ways. They have, you know, they have these four different pacers like you listed, and each one of them takes wickets in different ways. And so you can't just strategize in one way against the team. You have to be so versatile in your batting. You know, they've got bowlers that can hit the ball hard off the ground. They can swing the ball. They can beat you with pure pace. So it's going to be a big challenge because, you know, it just feels like in a test match with two big teams, it'll just take one session where one team loses maybe four or five wickets in a vulnerable position, and that contains the entire match. And so, you know, it's going to be a real, real grind for India.
What I would say, like, New Zealand's bowling attack is better. If anybody can, you know, block out the bowlers, block out that swing, it's the Indian middle order. But I would give the edge to New Zealand slightly. They can make better use of the conditions. They've got three world-class pacers. India obviously is a better spin attack, but, you know, it's England's pitches, so they're going to be green. They're going to be slightly bouncier. They're going to be quicker. Help with that seam.
We'll find out exactly what New Zealand does with their squad in the coming days. But with Devin Conway and Matt Henry performing the way they did in the two test matches against England, do you think Kane Williamson should make a change? Do you think he should include either of those players? Or does he go with the 11 that got him to this test championship final?
That's a hard question. I think you go with a hot hand coming off a double century in similar, exact same conditions. I think you go with the hot hand. Devin Conway, I would say he deserved or he earned a spot.
Who would you put him in over?
I was looking at the roster. I'm trying to think. Let's see.
I got an answer for that. If you are saying Devin Conway should play, if you're going with the assumption that all five of the players that did not play in the second test match. So that would be DeGrandhome, Jameson, Southey, Watling, and Santner, I believe, and Williamson. We know Williamson's going to play, so that's not even a question. If you go with the idea that all five of those guys are going to play, then Tom Blundell is probably the one that you'd have to take out. And it's unfortunate, but I think you do go with the hot hand in Devin Conway. And Matt Henry, unfortunately, there's just the four pace bowlers ahead of him are better. I mean, and, you know, Bolt has performed. Southey took a 5-4 in the first test match, I believe. So Matt Henry just misses out, unfortunately. And I think Devin Conway gets the nod over Tom Blundell. But that's the only change that I would make.
Yeah.
They haven't even announced New Zealand's
squad. No, they haven't announced the squad. But yeah. We know who it's going to be. We have a general idea of who the 11 is going to be.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I feel like, over Blundell, you got to write it out with Conway at this point. But I'd say Matt Henry misses out. Because then you have Kane Williamson's going to come at 3. Taylor's going to come at 4. Nichols will come at 5. And then you've got 6 and 7 being an all-rounder and Watling, and then you've got bowlers.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting how New Zealand picks the 11. India, on the flip side, has some decisions to make with their bowling attack. But the batting lineup, there's two guys I want to highlight because they play test cricket in a more ODI style. They attack test cricket with more ODI style batting. Rohit Sharma and Rishabh Pant. You think either of those guys will have much success with that style given New Zealand's attack? Or do you think maybe this one they try to tone it down a little bit and see the ball out a little bit more?
So here's the thing. Rohit has proved himself as, you know, a quality test opener. He does look for those early boundaries, that quick start. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but he's in the squad and he's an opener because he has that track record of it's not necessarily that he's either getting, you know, a double hundred or like 6, but he does have somewhat of that test consistency. He's proven it. So if he clicks, then I think with him, you just hope he clicks. As far as Rishabh Pant goes, shorter track record, but more recent test success, starting in late last year overseas in Australia. And I would say, you know, it's tough to say, but I don't know. I think it's just one of those things that, you know, if he clicks, then New Zealand's bowlers are just, you know, shaking their heads and he's thinking, oh, he's on today. Like, no way to, you know, game plan for that.
They have to keep playing the way that they've played so far and succeeded so far. There's no point changing your game now at this point when, you know, the way you've played has led you to success and brought you to this point in the first place. And, you know, that's one of the big advantages I feel that India has over New Zealand is these two dynamic players that can take a game away from you so quickly and can, you know, especially in test cricket, the bowling, it's all about building up momentum and building up pressure at both ends, and that's what leads you to wickets. And, you know, these are two players in the lineup that can just blow that all the smoke within like minutes. So you know, it has to.
Yeah, I agree with that. And these are probably the two big changes from the last time that New Zealand played India in this test championship cycle. New Zealand was the home team, and they absolutely dominated India in two test matches. Rishabh Pant was not the player back then that he is right now. Rohit Sharma was injured. I believe Shikhar Dhawan, who would have played in that test, was also injured. So India had some problems in that two-test match series that they won't have now because the teams are completely different. I don't think there's any parallels that we can take from that series to this one. But Rishabh Pant, I agree, has to keep playing the same way. It's worked for him well, and it has worked well for India. So he has to keep playing that way. Rohit Sharma, maybe with the new ball, has to tone it down a little bit. But I think, you know, if it's worked so far, why change anything? One rule that I want to get to is the tie rule. And we had speculated before exactly what would happen if there was a draw or a tie. I should say draw because a tie would mean that they actually physically tied on runs, and that's very rare. So I'll say draw. If there is a draw, both teams would split the test championship. There's no tiebreaker. Originally, we felt that the team that had finished higher in the standings would be awarded the test championship, but that is not the case. So do you guys like this rule that if there's a draw, the test championship will be split?
Yeah, I think so. That kind of like, you know, like being doing the other method, what you said, where they're higher in the standings, that kind of like doesn't really incentivize India to play for the win. I think it just really is like, oh, we're ahead in the championship standing, so like, why not play for the draw, like playing not to lose, which is, you know, a bad mentality. And so I think it's good that, you know, it's kind of a clean slate. Winner take all, or if you draw, you draw, put the money, put the prestige, whatever you want to call it. So I think it's better to do it this way.
Just so you know, actually, New Zealand has now jumped India in the standings after their...
No. That's the ICC rankings, Anish. This is the Test Championship standings. So India is number one in the Test Championship standings.
Okay, well, yeah, either way, I mean, I don't like it. I mean, it's a championship. Like, you need to have a winner. I think it's crap. The problem is they don't have a good way to do a tiebreaker. I mean, I would love to see a super over determining the result of a 5-day test, but, you know, you have to pick different players for that.
A super match, which is just 20 overs, 5 test format, 5 overs each innings switch.
Yeah, that or I mean, like, you know, if there's no result, I mean, can you extend the match for another day? Like, I don't.
Here's what I think, because I agree with you, Anish. I agree. I think the idea that there can be a split here where both sides get it is ridiculous. And I think it creates a clear scenario where if on day 5, one side is in a precarious position where they can go for the win, they can possibly lose in going for the win, and therefore they decide to just play it out and draw, is very possible. So I think there's an incentive to playing not to lose. I still think that exists. The problem is there's no great tiebreaker in a test match. So my solution, as radical as it would be to say that if the match is a draw, there's no winner. And we have just wasted 2 years of test matches.
Yeah, you just want to see the world burn.
Because I think that's so dumb that if there's a draw, they split the championship. That essentially, after 2 years, you have two champions, which is as good as saying you have none, because they both ended up playing in the final against each other, and it was a draw. So you're basically saying there was no champion if you're awarding it to both of them after 2 years. So might as well not give it to anybody and say that if it is a draw, no one wins. Because then there's an incentive to play for the win, even if there's a possibility that in doing so, you end up losing the match. Because I think, look, if you were to wager on this game, that's a personal choice for those of you who are into that. It is currently even money for India and New Zealand. I believe it's like plus 130 or plus 140 for each of them. A tie or a draw, actually, I have to check the wording on this because tie and draw are different things. But a draw, I believe, is like plus 500, which is kind of crazy value if you think about it, because the situation is going to be there on day 4 or day 5, unless something crazy happens in one of the sessions where somebody loses like 5 or 6 wickets. So, yeah, I don't like this rule. I don't really know what they can do about it. But I'm sure that things will change. The ICC already announced that for the next test championship cycle, the calculation of points will be percentage of points won rather than assigning a specific number of points to each test match. I think each test match is going to be the same number of points regardless of whether it's a 2-game series or a 5-game series. But then it'll be percentage of points won. So already we're seeing things change. And I think this is something that also needs to be looked at. Maybe if it was a 3-game series, it would be solved. But because it's a one-off, I think that's the problem.
Yeah, and I mean, you hate to see them be like, oh, well, whichever team got like the most number of boundaries, they win the match or something silly like that.
None of that. Garbage. We're not having any of those tiebreakers. You can't have that in a test match. That's a little too extreme, I think.
I mean, it could be argued you can't have that in a World Cup final
either. Yeah, you shouldn't have it in a World Cup final either. That's a totally different discussion. We've talked about some of the key players. We've talked about some of the key matchups that we're looking for. One player on each team, kind of under the radar, maybe not getting enough attention, that could swing this match. One guy from India, one guy from New Zealand.
So for India, I'm going to go with whoever pairs Rohit Sharma at the top, whether it's Mayank Agarwal or Shubman Gill are probably the two more likely candidates. You really can't understate the value of a strong opening partnership, especially in a test match as crucial as this one. And we know that Rohit is a proven opener, and both Mayank and Shubman have had their ups and downs. And so I think if one of them can step up and play well, I think that will be such a huge boost to India, because then, you know, their middle order, Pujara, Kohli, and Rahane, don't have to face the new ball, and that'll make them even better batsmen. So that's going to be my key for India. For New Zealand, I'm going to go, I'll go with BJ Watling. I think he's definitely been an under-the-radar performer. You know, he's wrapping up his career. He's been such an excellent all-round batsman for New Zealand. And, you know, New Zealand, their lower order, their bowlers, they've got some pop with the bat. And so, you know, he's definitely a guy that can stick around and cause a lot of damage with the bowlers if India can't get him out quickly.
This is BJ Watling's retirement tour, if you did not know. Yeah, this is his last match before he's calling it a career. We'll see if we can get him on the podcast afterwards.
That would be cool. I would say, let's see. For India, I would say maybe Akshar Patel, because he kind of lengthens that tail, gives him a slightly bit of middle lower order batting, you know, lower order batting. Kind of an underrated bowler. He doesn't spin it like you would think, and that's how kind of spin, maybe lack of spin, subtle spin, that really kind of would succeed on those English pitches. And I think just like, you know, him being able to bowl long spells of that, can, you know, stifle in the middle of a session, near the end of a session, end of a day, the scoring rates. And so I would say Akshar Patel, you see him on both sides of the ball with that talent. For New Zealand, I would say,
I hope it's kind of a question. Will Akshar Patel even get in the lineup?
Yeah, true. I was thinking that as I said that, but I think he might. I know he's not under the radar, but probably Neil Wagner for New Zealand.
Any particular reason why?
I think he's just constantly flying under the radar as an international bowler. Like, he's not talked about in the likes of Bolt and Saudi. And I think he's just one of those bowlers that can swing it both ways. Just bowls with his fire. He has both a chip on his shoulder. And he's shown results. He's very consistent.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'll bail Ashay out here a little bit with his early selection of Akshar Patel, and I'll say that it'll be whoever India selects between Akshar Patel and Ravindra Jadeja. I think they're going to have to pick one of those guys, and that all-rounder type player that they select, or maybe it's somebody else, who knows, but they're going to select one. Yeah, they're going to select one all-rounder type player, and that player is going to be counted on to bat mainly. We know that they'll bowl a little bit here and there, but that player is mainly going to be counted on to extend the batting lineup. And whether that is done or not could very likely determine the outcome of this match. For New Zealand, I think it's Henry Nicholls. He's quietly climbed up the ranks for ICC test batsmen. I think he's in the top 10. I want to say he reached the top 5 at one point and then maybe slipped down a little bit once India played England in the test series. But Henry Nicholls is in the top 10, I believe, and you wouldn't expect that, but he's had very consistent performances. Number 5 is a perfect position for him, and he can really build an innings. So I think Henry Nicholls is the key as sort of the under-the-radar player for New Zealand. We talked about pretty much everything that needs to be talked about in this World Test Championship final, except for the last thing. Our predictions, guys, who do you think is going to be the first World Test Championship winner?
New Zealand.
I'm sticking with my prediction from earlier with Team India.
I am going to stick with my prediction from earlier of New Zealand lifting the trophy. Well, that does it for us here on the Follow On podcast. Be sure to check out all of our content on Facebook, Twitter, and of course, followoncricket.com. And don't forget to tune in to the World Test Championship final. It'll be a good one.